Amen. Glad that everybody is here. But more importantly, I'm glad that Jesus is here. I'm glad that he showed up. If he didn't show up, we'd just be wasting time and taking up space. But I'm glad that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here. Brother Vizcarra, congratulations. You passed your exam and got a great award. I just want to say congratulations, Brother Vizcarra. I'm proud of you. Amen. Job well done. You say, Pastor, what about it? Go talk to him. He'll tell you. Amen. Just put those shoulders back and raise your head up. Amen. God bless you. Amen. We're going to continue our series. As we remember what we've been talking about these last few Wednesday nights? Are you spiritual? So we're trying to become spiritual, trying to get the tools necessary to become spiritual. And I just want to also pause and say this Friday, we've got our first P7 Club. And the P7 Club, what that is we've got a few boys, Eddie, Cole, and Tristan. They're going to be doing a Bible study on Fridays at their high school. And I believe they already got 9 people signed up. That's incredible. So I would just say in your daily prayers, if you could pray for the P7 Club, because I'd like to see a lot of them experience the gift of the Holy Ghost, get baptized in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, we have one, Aaron, that's going to get baptized on Sunday in Jesus' name. And if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, it'll be a great, great time to get baptized in Jesus' name. I'll dunk you in Jesus' name and God will touch you. I'll bring you back up so I won't keep you down. Amen. Amen. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have a good time. We're in church. If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6, you can remain seated tonight. But we're going to continue our series on Are You Spiritual? This is Are You Spiritual Part 4. Bible says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, our job is to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That was the first part that we talked about, that if we're going to be spiritual, we're not going to be spiritual destroyers, we're going to be spiritual restorers. And we're going to help somebody, because there's coming a day that every one of us is going to mess up. And if you haven't given mercy, guess what? Mercy ain't coming back to you. But if you can give love and you can give mercy, it'll come back to you. So that was part one. Part two was, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do your best to help people. If you want to be spiritual, your job and my job is to help one another. Not go tell them how bad your problems are and how big your troubles are. But our job is to sometimes zip that up and open these up and listen to them. And if we do that, if we help one another, if we love one another, we fulfill the law of Christ. Part three that we talked about, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, I hate to burst your bubble tonight. I'm glad that you're here, but just because you're here doesn't mean we can start the show, because this show is not about you. It wasn't about our band. It's not even about me. It's about him. Anybody believe that today? If you're spiritual, you realize it's not about you. It's all about him, because when you think it's all about you, the Bible says you deceive yourselves, because you're not something, you're nothing. So that's part three. And so part four, we're going to jump in. But let every man, somebody shout every man. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. Every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So we've got to realize that if we are going to be spiritual and we're going to continue in the vein of asking ourselves, are we spiritual? If we are, or we desire to be, then verse number 4, it's got to come into play. Let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. So if we're to be spiritual, or if we're to strive to be spiritual, we must prove our own work. Not our neighbor's work. A lot of people like to prove our neighbor's work.
A lot of people like to turn on the spotlight on somebody else and what they're not doing and what they've been talking about and how they, everybody likes to pinpoint somebody else. But if we're going to be spiritual, it's not about our neighbor. It's not about proving what you prove to me that you're a Christian. You prove to me on how you can sing and how you can win a soul and how no Bible's not talking about that. It says if you're going to be spiritual, you've got to prove your own work, not your family members' work. Even though we like to tell some of our family members what they need to do, you need to get up and you need to work. That's what we want to tell our family members sometimes. But God's saying it's not about them, it's about you. And so we've got to look inward. Somebody shout inward. We've got to examine ourselves. We must take an appraisal of our lives. We must do something that some of us don't like to do, and I know some of us do like to do it. What we've got to do is we've got to take a good look at ourselves in the mirror. Some of you like to look at yourself in the mirror. So you're like our Fonzarelli, hey, when you see yourself in the mirror, you know what I'm talking about? And some of you see and you're running the other way because you don't like the reflection. But Jesus is trying to tell us that if we're going to help anybody, and I believe all of us want to help somebody, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a neighbor, people, we have people in our mind that we know we need to help, but before we can help them, we've got to help us, and we've got to look at us, and we've got to take a good hard look in that mirror, because if you'll look at that mirror long enough, you'll see things in there that you haven't seen in a long time. When I come into my house, there is a photograph right there by my door as you first walk in to the right. Yeah, she's been there. She knows what I'm talking about. March 15th, 1997, a wedding day, and it's our wedding picture. And I looked there and I'm like, who are you? Where did you go? I look at myself in the mirror now. No longer do I have black hair, but I've got gray hair. No longer, I've got bags under, I've got, you know what I'm talking about? There's some things in that mirror that some of us, we don't like. But I'm not just talking about your outside. I'm talking about your inside. Because we live in a world where people judge you by the outside. The outside appearance and what you can do and what you've done. And they have put a big stamp up there of what kind of person you are by how you look. But the Lord says, I'm not looking on your stature. I'm not looking on your height. I'm not looking at your ability. I'm looking on the inward. When nobody else, I'm looking at the heart. For out of the heart is the issues of life. And we've got to, we really got to look at ourselves. And I've found at times that the closer I get to God, the more I realize I need to do more. The closer I get to him, I begin to say, you know what? I need to read this word a little bit more. The closer I get to him, the more I want to just pray and the more I want to just tap into him. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not looking at anybody else, but I'm talking about that spotlight, turning that spotlight off and turning the searchlight on and saying, God, let me examine me. I need to change some things. I need to change me. I need to change the way I think and what I give myself to. If we really want to be spiritual, we've got to prove our own work. And we can't compare ourselves with anybody else. The Bible says if we compare ourselves one to another, we are unwise. But the way we compare ourselves is by the word. That, can I tell you, when we stand before God, this is what's going to judge us. Not your ideas, not your opinions, not even your belief systems. What's going to judge you is right here by the word of God. Had a man several years ago tell me, and he laid it out. He said, I haven't killed anybody. I said, thank you, Jesus. I haven't drank. I haven't done all this. I've been a good guy. I've given all this stuff away. And I don't think I need to be baptized. That's what he told me. He's a good person. He laid it out. It's like 15 minutes of just, I don't know if you've ever been on the phone with somebody and they just, yada, and you haven't even said anything. And then after a while, they break and they go, are you there? And I'm like, just listening. I'm on the line. And that's what the guy was doing. He was just laying it out. And finally, after he sucked in wind, he looked at me and says, now, what do you think? So I said, great question. I said, it really doesn't matter what I think. I said, doesn't matter what I believe. Doesn't even matter about my grandma and grandpa, what they believed. And I said, I hate to burst your bubble. It doesn't matter what you believe. Let's just open up the Word of God. Let's just take a trip down the Word. And for about 15, 20 minutes, I just started reading Scripture. I didn't give them my thoughts and my opinions. I just said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I just read Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. I just read John where it says, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again of water and spirit. And then I closed the book and I said, what do you think? And he said, I need to be baptized. I said, great, great answer, great reply. Because I'm telling you, the only way we can help people is right here. It's the Word of God. And that's the only thing that's going to judge us. It is His Word. Not our ideas, not our thoughts, not our opinions, but by His Word. I believe somewhere it talked about that this Word will be a light unto us. It'll be a guide. It'll be a roadmap. This Word of God, if we can hide this Word in our heart, the Bible says we may not sin against God. The only way you can get good is you gotta get God. You gotta get His Word, is the good news into your spirits. We live in a world today that's full of fake news or bad news. The only way you defeat bad news and fake news is by good news. Hey, I heard you've been going through some stuff. Let me just kind of read some scriptures to you. That if you're really facing turmoil, you look at a lot of self-help books and a lot of power thinking books and a lot of leadership principles. You know where they find their principles? It's right here in the Word of God. And they're like, wow, I found something new. No, this has been around a long time. Right? And so every one of us, if we want to be spiritual, we've got to learn to get into His Word and let that Word get into our hearts. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Let me read this. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be spiritual, we've got to be measured. We've got to measure ourselves by the Word of God. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is what the Bible says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. Can I tell you, this body that you have is not yours. It is on loan. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You better believe it is. And the Lord says, you've got to present that body, that temple of the Holy Ghost, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto man, unto my family, unto my pastor, unto my, no, unto God. If you live for God, for others, you'll never make it. But if you'll make up your mind, I'm going to live for God because of God, things start changing in your life. That's how we become spiritual, is we've got to learn that this sacrifice is acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. God's not asking for something you can't do. Now, sometimes your flesh don't like it. Your flesh doesn't like to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Your flesh does not like it when about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, not sure if it's ever happened to you, happened many times to me, where God just wakes me up. And I know, I've been around long enough that if I wake up at 3 or 4, God is saying, Bubba, get your carcass out of bed and go pray. Because if I don't, I'm going to struggle in that bed. And I'm going to lose what God has for me. And that's why I've got to say, you know what? I've got to make this body, this temple that God has graciously bestowed unto me, has given this body in loan. I've got to do my best to present it a living sacrifice unto God. And when he calls me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to start talking with him. Now the first maybe three minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes may be rough, but if you'll just prime that pump. Has anybody ever primed a pump before? A water pump? Where you went out before the water would come out through the spigot. I mean, you turn it on, but nothing would come. But you just start priming that pump. The water may not flow after the first or second or third, but man, you spend some time in that. 5, 10, 20 times, and water just starts gushing. Same it is when you start praying. You may not feel it in the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but you just keep on priming that pump, and then all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm glad I got out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm glad I was able to find myself talking to the Lord and communing with him, because he really does promise that if we'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to me. That's what's being spiritual, is looking on the inside of man, not saying, hey, you need to pray. It's saying, hey, I need to pray. I need to help myself, because verse 2 goes on. It says, and be ye not conformed to this world. It's easy to get bogged down by this world, by the cares of this world, by schedules and appointments. It seems like just, I mean, time is just so fast. We're already almost at the end of 2018, and time is just, it's going. It just seems like, and that's our life. We don't have time to break, but we've got to say, you know what? I'm going to slow down. I've had a busy, hectic weeks thus far. It's Wednesday night and my body, Brother Escara, says I'm tired. I'd feel better on my lazy boy recliner with a glass of ice water and just kicking back and not talking to anybody. That's what our flesh wants to say. But our spirit man has got to rise up and say, you know what, I may not feel good in body. I may have had a stressful day. I may have pressures in life and workloads, but I come to the house of the Lord, and when I come into his house, I'm going to give praise. I'm going to let worship go, because I know that if I could start tapping into him and I could start priming that pump, I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to be understanding that I'm going to connect with him. And when I do, my spirit says, I'm glad I came to church. I'm glad I came to Wednesday night Bible study, because I needed that word. I needed to be tapped in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the whole essence of being spiritual. Not because someone knows that you're here, but because God knows that I'm here. And I don't want to be conformed to this world. And when I realize that, guess what happens? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I tell you that when the light bulb kicked on at 15 years of age, I remember I was in Santa Maria, California at senior camp, and I was one of those cats on the back row, because my parents were, or my mom's side was Catholic, and I was like, they don't, this is crazy. I don't know, why is everybody running? And so I just sat back there judging. A lot of people sit back and judge. Why are they running? Why are they shouting? They got bills that are due. No money in the bank. Don't we know where they were yesterday? They don't deserve to. You don't deserve to be here if you're coming up here being judgmental and self-righteous. You don't know what happened inside their life. You don't know the turnaround inside of them, that they're trying to break that curse and they're trying their best to become spiritual and let a Holy Ghost encounter happen in their lives. So 15 years of age, Brother Viscari, I can remember it. I've lifted my hands because the preacher, it was Brother Wayne Huntley, tell hell I ain't coming. And I said, hey, I ain't coming. I'm going to heaven. And I remember I lifted up my hands and God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
And it changed my life. And I went home to my mother and I said, Mom, guess what? God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I gave her the whole experience and I was just so on fire. And then I heard the words, you're brainwashed. My mother's side, devout Catholics, for 15 years of age up until 19, 4 years until I went to Bible college, there was that shift that happened in the spiritual realm. But from that time, they kept saying I was brainwashed. And at first I was like, well, that's not even a cool thing. But then I got the revelation. I was God-washed. He transformed me and he renewed my mind. I don't think the same way anymore. I don't act the same way. I don't live the same way. Why? Because God, I had an encounter with him and he renewed my mind. That's why the Bible says we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. Every one of you have a testimony. Don't let anybody silence your praise and silence your testimony. Put those shoulders back, raise that head high and say, I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. God has turned my life around. I'm breaking that curse. I don't want to walk after the carnal man anymore, but I want to walk after the spiritual man because I realize if I could draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to me. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm telling you, when you do that, in the mornings you'll wake up and it just, you got a song on you. Isn't there a song that says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on? You start singing songs like that. It gets in your spirit. Even if you can't sing, even if you someone said I was tone deaf, and I'm okay with that. I still sing. There are times that I'm singing, and my wife's like, that's not how it goes. You're singing the wrong words. And many times I say, I ain't singing it to you. I'm singing it to him. I'm making my own words. I'm making my own music. And guess what? This cat that gets tone deaf and has no idea when I hit the right note or don't, there are times that God allows me to hit the right note. Because the other day, my wife's like, ooh, that sounded good. Sing it again. And all of a sudden, I got the big head and just flopped. Because I thought it was me. I'm going to tell you, when you think it's you, you will flop. But when you realize I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, that's when you become spiritual and you understand I am nothing, but he is everything. And you plug into this and God changes you. Let every man prove his own work. If we can examine ourselves by his word, we can get a real assessment of our lives. And can I tell you, sometimes it's not a pretty sight. Sometimes you don't like what you see. Sometimes you don't like what you've been involved in. And you don't like what you have become. Heard of a family that walked out on God and they were gone for 5-10 years or so. And they found themselves, Brother Scott, in their bedroom. It was the husband and wife and they were actually looking at themselves in the mirror. And both of them said, I can't believe we got ourselves this far away from God. And they made up their mind. It wasn't a Sunday night service. It wasn't a Wednesday night Bible study. It was on their bed. They looked at themselves in the mirror. They realized that they were a wreck without God. They realized they made a mess out of life. And they came to the conclusion, I need God back in my life. And they decided, I'm going back to church. Now the kids are like, Mom and Dad, you've lost it. I preached a message years ago. You can have what you want, but you lose what you got. Be careful. God can forgive you, but be careful the seeds that you sow into the flesh.
Because I'm going to tell you, we reap what we sow. But if we can make up our mind, we can't change yesterday, but we can change today. I'm going to break that curse. I'm going to break those carnal behaviors. And I'm going to start walking right after the Spirit. And I'm going to start making the right choices. Then God can start putting things back together again. And God could start helping your children and helping your spouse. Before you pray, God, change my spouse, you should first pray, God, change me. Because many times we are the problem, not them. If we can get a hold of God and God can move on us, then we can be understanding, you know what? I can love a little bit more. I could show mercy a little bit more. I can show compassion a little bit more. Why? Because he showed love to me. He showed mercy to me. He forgave me. He gave compassion on me. And if God can do that for me, I ought to do that for one another. I've got to work on me. I'm going to tell you that that's exactly what the prodigal did. Is he realized, I've got so much, but we'll probably start coming to the close here, but that's what the prodigal did. Prodigal made a mess out of life. And he finds himself at the pig pen, right? And at that pig pen, who was there at the pig pen? Was the choir there? Was Sister Viscara there playing the sax? No, just the pigs. Just the prodigal and the pigs. Where were the buddies that were always around the prodigal? They gone. Because they only stayed around when the prodigal had the money. But when he had no more to give, they were gone. They didn't care about. I'm going to tell you, there are people in this world, and there are people that you come in contact with, they don't care about you. And they're not your friends. If they try to derail your relationship with God, you've got to cut that off. And you've got to surround yourself with good, godly associations. And you've got to make sure, hey, when the doors of church are open, I'm coming. I'm coming to Wednesday night Bible study. I'm coming to Sunday morning. I'm coming to Sunday night. I'm coming to revival night. Why? Because I need God to change me. Because if God can change me, he could change everybody. And so that prodigal found himself at the pig pen, and there was a mirror there. And that mirror was, he started looking at the slop and looking at his condition and realized, I made a mess out of life. I shouldn't be here. And all of a sudden his brain started going back to what it was like at daddy's house. What it was like, what his servants had. And he made up his mind. He says, you know, the servants have a bed. The servants have food. And I find myself right here in the pig pen. And here's what we do is we already make a judgment call. God hasn't made a judgment call. But you make a judgment call because you gave yourself to the bottle. You gave yourself to drugs and you stopped being faithful and you stopped coming to church and you stopped paying your tithe and you stopped giving your offerings and you just stop giving. And so you make an assessment. There's no way. There's no hope for me. That's what the devil wants to tell you. Well, you haven't been praying. You haven't been reading your word. Just stop going. That's what the enemy wants. Seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a God that says, but I've come that you might have life. That's why the Lord looked at that woman, that adulterous woman, and says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's the God that we serve. And our assessment is, I'll just be a servant. But man, that prodigal started coming back home. Brother Alex, you can come. That prodigal started coming back home. And I'm telling you, the story should have been, the prodigal should have been running. Really should have. He should have been running as fast as he could down that dusty road. He should have been the one that fell on his daddy's neck. He should have been the one that said, Daddy, I'm sorry. But he didn't. Bible said, the father. How many nights did the father sit the front porch looking at that long dusty road? How many sleepless nights did he encounter? I don't know how many. Bible doesn't talk about it. But there's a God that never gives up on you.
You may give up on God. You may walk out on God. But God never gives up on you. And God never walks out on you. Family and friends may do, but God never does. He just sits there on the porch. He just looks down that dusty road, hoping that one day you'd come back. That's what the daddy did. Daddy was looking. And daddy saw that prodigal coming down. He saw that dust. Didn't know if it was a mirage. Didn't know if it was seeing things. But Brother Ishmael, his eyes were locked in. The Bible said that daddy ran with everything he could. Got to where his boy was. The Bible says he threw his arms around his neck. And he kissed him. And the son was trying to speak. The son was like, Daddy, I don't know, I messed up. Daddy, I should be a servant. Daddy, I don't deserve. And dad didn't even listen to what the kid was saying. He was just saying, my baby was lost. But now he's found. My baby couldn't see. He was blind, but now my baby can see. Put that coat around him. Give him that ring. Give him everything that I have, because my baby has come home. That's why the Bible says heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. You want to get God's attention? You want to get heaven to notice you? All you've got to do is look inward. Look inside of you. Examine your own work. Prove your own work. Isn't that what the Bible said? We are to prove everyone his own work. That is being spiritual. Because the Bible says if we prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There will be rejoicing when you do that. David came to that conclusion in his life. David knew he messed up. David knew the mistakes that he made. The Bible says that God referred to David as a man after his what? His own heart. How in the world could David be a man after God's own heart? He committed adultery. He lied. He tried to cover it up. He murdered somebody. David made mistakes. David penned those words. When the preacher said, thou art the man, David fell on his face. And Psalms 51 is a reflection of that. And he said, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Purge me with hyssop. Blot out my transgressions. I'm telling you, what God is looking for is for every one of us to come to that crossroad in life and say, God, I'm in need of you. I've messed up. I've made a mistake. And God, I just need you to wrap your arms around me. That's what being spiritual is all about. Not that you don't make mistakes, but that you're quick to forgive, quick to repent, and say, God, help me to become better. I don't know what your prayer is tonight, but I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better saint. I want to be a better servant of God. I want to be a better witness. I just want to be better. God, I'm not looking at anybody else but God. I'm looking at me. And I'm praying, God, at this body that you gave me. God, that I give it back to you. That I present it a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. It's my reasonable service, God. In the name of the Lord. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? Would you lift your voice with me tonight? Would you pray a simple prayer, God? Search me. Search my heart, God. Search the cracks and crevices within. If there's anything in me, God, that displeases you, I pray you forgive me, God. I pray you take that away. I want to please you, God. Let your blood run through me today. Help me, God. Help me to become better. Oh, would you step out from where you are? We've got a few minutes here tonight. Would we line ourselves up the front tonight with hands raised and voices raised, saying, God, help me. Help me, God, to be what you called me to be. Create in me, God, a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Help me, God. Help me, God. Birth it inside my soul. I've got family, I've got friends that need this. But before I can focus on them, I've got to focus on me, God. I want to be spiritual. I want to be filled with you, God. Help us, God, tonight. Come on, lift your voice today. Lift your voice today. Let me think right. Let me act right. You can count on me. I'll pray when nobody else wants to pray. I'll fast when nobody else wants to fast. I'll read your word and I'll get into your word, God. Oh, I love you today. Deserve our worship. Hallelujah. Lay a hand on somebody. Pray for one another. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us what we put into our bodies. Oh, I give it to you, God. I give it to you, God. I want to please you. I want to please you. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, heaven's watching this. This gets God's attention. Hallelujah. It's not about me, God. It's about you. It's about your plan. It's about your purpose. It's about your will, not my will, but thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. And adore you. You deserve. You. Yes, you do, God. You. Come on, with hands raised. Let's sing this song together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You've got to take this home with you. It's got to be more than a Wednesday night. Got to be more than a service. We've got to live it out there. We've got to find places in our homes where we can have our own daily devotion with Him. And maybe not even just in your home, but maybe in your car when you're driving down the road. Maybe at your job, you just talking with Him, but wherever it is, make up your mind. I'm going to connect with Him, because if we can connect with Him, He can help us to become spiritual. I want to be spiritual, don't you? Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. Amen. Find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you.